Welcome back to another thrilling, exciting, fantastic episode of Breaking the Plane. Today, I am your host, Hogan, the host with the most, joined by my lovely co-host, my arch nemesis, my buddy, my pal, Burge. What's up, buddy? How you doing? What's the matter? Don't shake your head at me. Don't act like you're not excited about tonight.
I'm regretting this decision to let you let you start this sucker off. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, boo, boo, boo. We're off to a phenomenal start. Yeah,
boo, boo, boo.
That's right. Yeah, I'll give you a fucking boo, boo.
Nah, man.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's been it was a good long weekend. We had our twins had their first birthday party yesterday, so Sunday. So my household has been very busy over the last few days. I had to work today on the holiday, of course, but it was a busy weekend, dude, running around, house chores, getting the yard ready, doing the whole dad thing. You know, you don't know how it goes, but, you know, it's basically stereotypical dad stuff. That's what I was doing this weekend, and it was a blast. The boys, cake all over their face, dude. We had to basically hose them down afterwards, and everybody had a good time, and it was good. It was a beautiful day. Weather yesterday was fantastic, so it was awesome. How you doing?
Are you really a dad if you don't hose your kids down at least once in a while? Like, that's the real question. I mean, oh. I wouldn't know, but
I mean, we had the sprinklers and stuff out in front of the house for all the little kids who were running around and go burn off the sugar high. They all wanted me to just squirt them with the hose, so I'm sitting there just squirting every kid with the hose, and they're running away screaming, having a blast. But I'm like, don't come near me and don't get me wet. I mean, you're gonna get it.
of course. But no, I'm doing good. Yeah, very similar. Had a nice little 3-day weekend. You know, got a lot of house stuff done, a lot of chores, a lot of crap that I don't want to, where it's springtime and the weather's finally getting nicer. I mean, you got to take advantage of the weather that you got now, where it's not, you know, the brutal heat of the summer or anything like that, and see what you can do outside, enjoy it once in a while. We had the niece and nephews up yesterday as well, so it was a good time. Did the same thing, set up the sprinkler and just let them go, you know, ape shit banana out there. So it was funny.
Free babysitting and grass watering at the same
that's
time.
That's it. That's it.
Two birds.
That's it. See? Look at that. Great minds think alike. But speaking of things going good, do you have a little thing for us about Twitter? Do we have an update? Is Elon finally, you know, done being a prick? Burgess, tell me what's going on with Twitter.
We finally have our new logo up on Twitter. We have our new banner. It only took a week for Elon to let me do it. Didn't even send me a notification that it was okay to do it, mind you. Okay. I just happened to try it yesterday. It went through and it stuck. And that happened in the past. All right. It happened in the past. And then like 2 seconds later, the thing comes up denied. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, where's the denial? I'm like, I'm going through all my handles. I'm like, I'm checking it to make sure it's there. It's there. Thank you. Finally. But yes, we have a new appearance on Twitter. Finally completes the rebranding of the Breaking the Plane podcast. We're very excited going forward here with what we got coming. The videos will be on YouTube shortly. We're getting some nice overlays done for StreamYard. So we'll get some new graphics out there for you all to enjoy. We can't wait. Super excited. Did you know that, like, today I got a message from Twitter Premium saying basically the standard, oh, you can't update it after, you know, till it's reviewed and it may take 4 days. And then it got me, sent me a message. How is this chat?
This is referring to the chat with the 17,000 messages where you call them clowns and you basically are threatening to strangle them. Correct.
Correct. And I looked at it and I was just like, I started to get like, I was ready to like punch a wall. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to respond to it. I'm going to let it go because my stuff is set up the way I want it now. All right. We just need to get our blue check mark back, which will come back after it is reviewed again. And we'll be on our way. But yes, very exciting stuff. The new graphics are out there. We love to hear any thoughts you have on them. We're really excited. We went through a long process with a graphic designer to get it right. Again, I probably lost more hair and more grays out of that whole process too, waiting to hear back, but it's done and it's exciting. We're really, really stoked about these new graphics and everything coming your way soon.
That's right. That's right.
Hogan, how are your Celtics doing?
Ooh, speak of the devil. We're actually, so for those of you who are unaware, we usually record on Tuesday nights, and tonight we are recording on Monday instead. I don't know if you can tell, I got my green flame going on behind me. I got the green lights all set up, and in honor of those guys tonight, they're playing Indiana with a hopefully the chance to close out the series 4-0 for the Eastern Conference Finals and punch their ticket to the finals, where all things are starting to look like it's going to be a Boston-Dallas Finals, which is going to be interesting for a few reasons, because you got Tatum and Brown versus Luka, who is a phenomenal player, probably should be in the MVP talk a hell of a lot more than he isn't right now. And then on top of that, too, Kyrie Irving is a member of the Dallas Mavericks.
That's a storyline that even the non-basketball fan in me will get behind and want to see the drama that comes out of it.
I hate him so much for what he did with this organization.
This is Tatum and Brown's chance, right?
Yes.
It's their chance to get the monkey off their back with how that whole thing went down with him.
It's more so, well, I would say it's more so the monkey off the back for them to get a championship, because they've been so close so many years. Fair. And I think the big thing is going to be the final demon to put to rest that Kyrie left town the way he did, and the way that the team kind of fell apart during that changeover, where Brown and Tatum were still so young and new to the league, and Kyrie was supposed to be that mentor to them, and he literally just after like a season and a half was like, you know what, fuck Boston, I'm out, this sucks, and then tried to go do a super team with Brooklyn, and that fell apart, and then he's bounced around a little bit. Actually, no, I think he went from Brooklyn to Dallas, so he's been in Dallas a little bit, but anyway, either way, he's just, I was so excited when Kyrie first got to Boston, because I thought he was going to be like a Hall of Fame player with us, and I got his jersey, I was so excited, and he's the only player in any professional sports that I've ever regretted getting their jersey, because it's like, I still have it. That's the crazy part. I kind of have it as like a relic to be like, oh yeah, I remember when this douchebag was on the team. Like, mm-hmm. I can't wait. If they match up with Dallas in the finals, I will never root for the Celtics harder and then them in that finals. Just absolutely wipe the floor with him.
Is he going to stomp on the logo at center court again?
0-10 since he's done that. 0-10 versus the Celtics since he stomped on the logo like that. What a douchebag. And if any listeners are there wondering why I feel so strongly about Kyrie Irving, it's because the way he came to Boston through the trade, that he wanted to get away from Cleveland and LeBron and all that. And he seemed so genuine. He was the one that came out and was like, I'd love to see my number retired up in the rafters in Boston when he first got here and all this. And he was so dedicated. And at the time before, you know, Curry was Curry and all that stuff, I was just like, if there's one guy I'd want to be a point guard on my team, it was Kyrie Irving, because he was the complete package with the passing, the shooting, the rebound. He was just the guy that I was like, he is the point guard I would start a franchise with. And for him to just quit on both the team, the city, the franchise, everything. And then the young players they had that he could have. Do you imagine if he didn't leave and he wasn't a douchebag? How many championships he could have won with Boston? Like, how close has this team been so many times where they just missed a piece or two that they could have gotten them over the hump, that it could have been Kyrie, but instead he was just too busy freaking out about the earth being flat or whatever other dumb shit he's got going on. I don't know. It aggravates me that what could have been and just wasn't.
I feel dumber every time I hear that guy talk. Like, he speaks like a well-spoken individual, but the words that come out of his mouth just make me want to like just bash my head into a wall. Like, no other way around it. And again, I'm not the biggest basketball fan. I don't watch it. I'm following them in the playoffs right now, and I'll probably watch a little bit of games here and there in the finals. I'm not a big basketball fan, so don't come at me for hating the sport, but
oh, good.
It would be nice to see Kyrie lose to this team. It would be cool to see them, the young guys that are now veterans in the league, get over the hump, win a championship, and do it beating this guy that treated them so poorly and treated the organization so poorly in the past with the way he went out and the stomping on the logo, all that stuff. They can put it behind them and say, basically give them the giant middle finger and say, F you.
Agreed. Very, very much agreed. But all right, again, we got to remind ourselves once in a while, we're a football podcast. That's enough basketball for right now.
Thank you.
I know you're excited to get off this topic, but you brought up middle fingers, and it makes me think, there's one fan base that I feel like I've gotten the middle finger from a little bit lately. Burgess, can you remind me, is there somebody that I might have pissed off a little bit recently in the last few weeks?
Me?
Well, besides you, I piss you off daily. I'm talking about the last few weeks. You is daily, so I'm not worried about you.
Well, I think it might have something to do with a former number one overall quarterback and a team in South Florida that, or North Florida, I guess it is. They don't seem to like you very much. And no. There's been a lot of interaction with them lately.
That's true. And for those of you who are wondering, he's talking about our lovely, lovely fan base of Jacksonville Jaguar fans down there in Florida. Trust me, I'm not going in on you guys again this week. I have nothing to do with that. It's actually the opposite. I want to praise some Jacksonville fans. Specifically, I apologize if I screw up the name. It's Michael Barber, I believe, that we had probably one of the best interactions that we've had with on Twitter between the last couple weeks and then specifically today. Just a great back and forth on the discussion about Trevor Lawrence, our feelings on him, his feelings on him. You know, obviously he came and told us that he was a Jacksonville fan, so obviously he was biased a certain way, but he also took the time to back up a lot of his statements with facts, evidence, showed some stats and all that. It was a great, healthy debate, and it was one of those things where, again, I was partially being a troll the last few weeks with some of this, like especially the clips that we put out, but with the clips, I'm saying if you listen to the podcast, you know I wasn't totally in on some of that stuff. But then we put out the clips that made me look like Felger just being a douchebag about things where I'm just like, okay, let's pump the brakes. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I really don't hate Trevor Lawrence that much. But no, I just want to give a quick shout out to Mike. I think we got a new fan of the pod, and I know I got a new follower on Twitter, and he's great to just talk back and forth with. But yeah, I don't know. Burgess, you got any good interactions with anybody on Twitter? I know you like to play the troll card a little more often than I do. I guess I'm the face of the troll. You like to hide behind the keyboard and be that troll. It's you. I know you.
I know my limits. See, for me, it's like my recent interactions on Twitter have been Bruins related with the whole offseason and everything. So I've been really digging my heels in with some of the stuff that's being brought up about the Bruins. That's kind of my stance. When it comes to the whole Trevor Lawrence thing, I mean, I echo your sentiments. I mean, the data that was presented by Mike was great. Don't get me wrong. And I think it was a little bit, I don't want to say it's backing up your point, but like you never came out and said that he sucks. And yeah. I don't feel that way. I just feel underwhelmed by Trevor Lawrence. I figured that he would be further along in his development by now. And I understand there were some injuries there, but still. Going into the fifth year, you got a lot of stuff going on. Or fourth year, right? Fourth year. Yep. Fourth year, sorry. He's got to show it. He's got to show that next step. He haven't really felt that elite play. And we're looking at it without biased lenses on our eyes. We're not Jacksonville Jaguars fans. I have no real opinion about that team, the way they're constructed now. I used to be a laughingstock when they suck all the time, but now they have some legitimate talent down there where it's like, oh, they're a team to watch. And I feel like they've underachieved. Like last year, the way that their season went, and again, I understand there was an injury with Trevor Lawrence, but they fell apart. They were 9-2 or something like that, and they end up
it was 8-3, and then they were number one seed in the AFC and they missed the playoffs. And I guess like I said, to play devil's advocate, I agree with you. I do think they've underachieved a little bit, especially last year. And I understand that injuries were a big part of it with between both Trevor and I believe some of his wide receiver core. But if you look at the same aspect, Indianapolis lost their starting quarterback in what, week four? And they had Gardner Minshew, and they were on the brink of the playoffs that last week of the year playing for the division title against Houston. So I see both sides of it. And I echo your sentiment as well about not having a horse in this race about Jacksonville. Whether they win or lose, it has no bearing on me. I just, like I told Mike earlier in our chat today, I really would love to see Trevor Lawrence take that next step to become an elite quarterback, because how many times do we go back to beating this dead horse? There's not good elite quarterbacks in play right now in this league, because if you, like we talked about so many times, it's Mahomes at the tippity top, and then the argument can be made from two beyond, because you don't have that clear cut 1-2-3 guy that's just going to dominate the league. And hey, if Trevor Lawrence can take that step and Jacksonville can become a powerhouse for the next few years, so be it. If he's fun to watch and it's a great game to watch, I'd love to see it. Why not? As long as he doesn't beat the Patriots, which, like I said, I predicted last week that that's going to be the Patriots' first win this year. So again, sorry, Jacksonville. I'm just saying.
That's not trolling either. That's not trolling.
I'm not trolling. I honestly, that's where we're at. We'll see what happens. But again, Mike Barber or Michael Barber, I apologize if you don't like being called Mike. Either way, great interaction. Just wanted to shout you out, buddy. So thank you for that. But speaking of quarterbacks that were, you know, projected to be really, really good, we got a number one overall pick from just very, very recently that's making the news right now, Burge, that it's being reported Caleb Williams threw 7 straight interceptions in OTAs, like in the last few days. And now there's reports coming out that veteran players have had to pick him up and, you know, be like, it's okay, kid, dust off the crap and get back to work, blah, blah, blah. Are the Chicago Bears already in trouble, Burge? What's going on there?
So with OTAs, I don't like to put a lot of stock into them simply because it's not real football. It's not even training camp level intensity. When we're talking about OTAs, it's kind of a mid-offseason type workout with the team. So like when it comes to the practices and stuff, for me, I don't necessarily put as much stock into them as I would obviously a regular season game or a regular season practice even. So if it's going to happen to Caleb Williams, it's a good time for it to happen now, as opposed to maybe in the middle of training camp when the season is knocking on the door of the season right there. So good for him to like maybe get it out of the way now. We'll see how he battles back from the adversity. He doesn't strike me as a kind of kid that's really dealt with a lot of adversity through his, you know, college days and everything and his personality. So we'll see how he battles back. If I was a Chicago Bears fan, I would be a little concerned that veterans are already having to like step in and be like, yo, settle down there, buddy. Because the quarterback's supposed to be a leader of the team. I don't care if you're a rookie or what, like you need to assume that role. You're the quarterback. Like you have to be able to walk into those shoes right away, especially a guy drafted first overall, like a yeah. Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence, like
easy, go down the whole way.
You can go, but my point is I was very concerned about Caleb Williams going into the draft. I like when there were talks about the Patriots being rumored to like want to move up to go get him. I was like, whoa, no way. You know, you obviously have the off the field stuff that went on during the college football season. Again, could be nothing, could be just part of his personality and his makeup, which and his character, which would be more concerning than throwing basically 7, you know, interceptions in OTAs. I would, if you throw 7 interceptions in a row in an OTA practice, chalk it up, bad day. For most guys, but the character and the way that you come back from that adversity, especially at this level, is going to help define him going forward. If he comes out and all of a sudden this starts turning into a daily thing where he's having bad practices, then like red flags start going up, especially as OTAs end, you have the last summer break before training camp. I would be concerned if he's not able to at least put together something before OTAs are done, because otherwise he's just going to have a month to think about it.
Yeah. And to go off of what you're saying there, I'm on record as being a non-fan of Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be a bust just because of the mental aspect of him. I mean, he showed his true colors in college where he had everything working in his favor with his athleticism, his ability to pass, his ability to run, the chance to lead premier colleges like Oklahoma, boo, and USC, which he transferred to and won the Heisman. And the one image I can't get out of my head with him was, I forget who they lost to this year, and he was just in the stands covering his head with a towel, bawling his eyes out with his mom there. And it's like, be with your team. Be with the guys that you go to battle with. I understand having emotions, mm-hmm. and you know, projecting that, especially if maybe there was something sentimental there with his mom or something like that. And I get, but like you said, you are the face of that team, and being a Heisman winner at that point, like you're the face of that school. Go to war with your teammates, with your brothers, your guys on the field, and then, you know, do everything behind closed doors and don't put that pressure on yourself or put that target on your back where people are going to assume the worst of you. And then it didn't help where he was going into the draft with all the ridiculous reports coming out about wanting to own a piece of whatever franchise drafted him and his dad saying, I don't know. It's just all the red flags on the planet were there for this kid coming into the draft and him coming into the NFL. And to hear this story about him potentially throwing 7 straight interceptions and not completing a pass in OTAs, it's definitely way too early to say, I told you so. Like, I'm not going to be that person. Like, if he's doing this, like you said, in the preseason, going into the regular season, especially with the talent they surrounded him with, like, he needs to be successful because there's like, come on, I could probably go and throw a couple passes and complete at least one with the talent he's got. Well, he's got DJ Moore. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got, Adunze?
Roma Adunze. Yeah.
They drafted 9th overall. Like, you cannot be that bad. That's all I'm saying. Like, you can expect that from a team that drafted, like the Carolina, right, with Bryce Young there. I mean, like, nobody. He had nobody to throw to except for a 40-year-old Adam Thielen. Like, you weren't expecting him to do crazy things because he had nothing. Caleb Williams, dude, you got all the talent in the world around you. Like, make it happen.
Don't forget about DeAndre Swift in the background and the backfield there. Like,
DeAndre Smith, Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
They got a whole team that's just stacked for this kid to take the reins. And I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or win the division. Like, it's still going to be a learning curve. Like, a lot of things can happen. But at the same time, it goes back to, I'm not trying to bring up Trevor Lawrence again, but the number one overall pick, like when you're surrounded by that much talent, you have to succeed and you got to do it fast. That's the biggest thing I'll say about that.
Yeah.
You got anything else on that?
Yeah. The learning curve is going to be there. Like you said, like we expect the ups and downs. You always have it with a rookie quarterback, no matter where they're drafted. Like you got to adjust to the pace. You got to adjust to the way the NFL's played. It's different than college, but there needs to be flashes. And for a number one overall pick with as much talent as Caleb Williams has around him in Chicago, there's got to be a lot of flashes. There's going to be some bad mistakes. Like, that's going to happen. I mean, what if Peyton Manning had a ton of interceptions his rookie year, right? You're going to see those bad mistakes. But there's got to be a lot of flashes of being like, hey, we can work with that. We can build off that. We can improve on that. And this is going to go somewhere with this talent that we have around you. If you don't see that early in the season, look out, there's going to be there. And then it's going to, again, his character is going to come into talk because the media pundits are going to be coming out on him. You're going to have everybody, the fans in Chicago, they're ruthless. They're going to be all over him if those flashes don't show up. And will his character and his ability to overcome the adversity show up, or will the lack thereof show up and he'll turn into what you think he's going to be, which is a bust.
Exactly.
So, I mean, exactly. It's definitely going to be interesting to see. And it's going to be one of the biggest storylines, obviously, of the early part of the NFL season.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then going off of what we're talking about with Caleb Williams here, there was another report that actually came out recently that said Sean Payton is saying that Bo Nix looks really, really good with his OTA stuff, and that Sean Payton's already come out and said that the starting job is wide open for either Nix, Jarrett Stidham, or everybody's favorite in New York, Zach Wilson, to potentially be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. So it's curious to see both sides of the spectrum, right? Where you got Caleb Williams, a clear-cut number one guy that's surrounded by all this talent that just looks like hot garbage in OTAs and just can't complete a pass. But then on the other side of it, you got a guy that wasn't even projected to go in the first round that went 12th overall to a struggling franchise like Denver, that Sean Payton is sitting there saying, hey, he looks good. He could be our day one starter. So we'll see what happens with those two guys respectively. But real quick, what I want to do is I want to put us in a hypothetical situation here. So we're in a vacuum, Burge, okay? We're in a vacuum of time where we're looking at nothing but the rookies that were taken in the first round this year of the NFL draft, right? All of them are starting week one. who is the guy you want leading your team? Try and take your bias Homer hat off with Drake May. Obviously, we know how we feel as Patriot fans with him, or where we want him to do well. But between Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix, am I missing anybody? It's five.
Five. JJ McCarthy.
JJ McCarthy is the sixth one. So you got six guys to choose from. Who are you going with? Who are you riding with? Give me your ride or die.
Such a tough question because, again, I don't watch a lot of college football, so I don't really know a lot of the tape on these six guys. I mean, the first name that comes into my head, who I think would be the guy I'd want, is probably Jaden Daniels.
Oh,
he's tested.
Okay.
He's tested down there playing at LSU. He just won the Heisman. I'll be honest with you. He was kind of the guy that I wanted the Patriots to end up with, the dual threat ability that he has, kind of like a Lamar type quarterback. I think he can throw maybe a little bit better than Lamar. We'll see how it translates to the NFL, but I think he's probably the one that I would pick if you're putting a gun to my head right now. So Jaden Daniels.
Wow. Okay. So do we have this on record confirmed that offensive rookie of the year prediction by Burge is Jaden Daniels right now? I'm
yes.
putting you in the corner.
Okay, sure. Way too early prediction.
Love
yes, Jaden Daniels. I reserve the right to change my prediction after training camp.
Oh, boo. Don't
the
do that.
The hedge.
Come on. Come
the hedge.
On.
You put me on the spot there. I'm allowed to hedge it.
You're taking all the fun out of looking into the crystal ball, buddy. But no, that's a good projection. Like I said, I was just curious because I'm sure there it'd be you get a lot of different reactions around either the league or the fan bases based off of, like, if I were to ask them the same question, because it's such an interesting, we always go back to hindsight being, you know, a terrible thing or a wonderful thing, right? Being like, looking back and being like, oh, well, you, no shit. He was a home run guy. He just won, you know, multiple Super Bowls and mm-hmm. did this or blah, blah, blah. But like, it's always interesting to see if you just had your pick of the litter, like, and I think this goes back to a discussion that we had a while ago where we were talking to Manish about, you know, whether we want to see our teams lose games, right? And the difference between having that number one pick or not. And that's it comes down to being, if you had your pick of the litter, you can pick who you want at number one. So if the Pats lose a couple more games, that was them. They could have picked whoever they wanted. So I know you don't want them to lose games, but damn, I would have loved to have that number one pick where we could have had our chance to have whoever we wanted. And I hope Drake May is the right choice. I got to ride with him at this point and hope that, you know, he's going to be the guy that leads us there. I don't think he's going to start week one.
I
hope he doesn't.
No.
But we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. Well, who's yours? Now you put me on record. Let's hear yours.
Ooh, you're going to put me on the spot, huh? Okay. Well,
I'm not going to be the only one here that's going
to. Oh, no. I wanted to just get you and move on. That was the funniest part about this. I was going to be like, I wanted to hear yours and then be like, oh, great choice. Anyway, now to our next subject. No, if I had to pick mine, I think, honestly, with the coach and the talent that surrounding him right now, believe it or not, JJ McCarthy. Because if you think about it, Justin Jefferson alone is going to make life 1,000 times easier for any rookie coming into that organization. And Kevin O'Connell is a great, great, great quarterbacks coach. With what he was able to do with Kirk Cousins and get the most out of him, and then again, what he was able to do with the other guys that played this year for Minnesota after Cousins went down. I mean, granted, I know they didn't have the best year, and Jefferson was hurt too, but like, he is a good coach overall. And I think that McCarthy's going into a decent situation with that team. I know they're going to be on a little bit of a rebuild process with everything, but I don't know. Gun to my head, give me JJ McCarthy, especially where he's got that pedigree coming out of college where he did what he did with Michigan, where nobody really believed in them until the end of the year. And granted, I know a lot of that was their defense, you know, getting them to where they got to. But I could see JJ McCarthy surprising a lot of people this year. It's like I said, throwing to Justin Jefferson never fucking hurts. So,
all right, now I'm going to put you on the spot with a question we didn't even talk about. Who's the biggest? Who's got the biggest chance to bust? I'm assuming you're going to go Caleb Williams. If you had to pick one quarterback out of that those six, has the highest percentage chance to bust? Who is it?
It's not Caleb Williams. I do dislike Caleb Williams. I don't think he's going to be the biggest bust. Give me Michael Penix.
It's a good choice.
Because I honestly think that the pressure is going to be there. And we talked about this multiple times, right? With Cousins going to that organization where everybody was saying a quarterback away, a quarterback away, a quarterback away. And if Cousins can't get the job done and they decide to turn the reins over to Penix Jr., I mean, and he's not able to live up to that standard of what he should be at the eighth overall pick taken, that he's going to be a bust, right? Like, I have to assume that's what he'll become, because everybody is sitting there saying Atlanta was a quarterback away over and over again. Mm-hmm. And if something happens to Cousins, or say Cousins, you know, gets him in a deep playoff run this year, and then next year they turn the keys over to Penix and they say, hey, kid, go let it sling and let's see what you can do. And he doesn't, you know, he does something similar to what was it, Desmond Ridder or whatever his name was that did this year, or Mariota before him. Yep. It's like, you got to succeed because the pressure and expectations are there, especially in the NFC South, where you got Carolina, who's terrible. You got the Saints that have seemed like they've been rebuilding since Drew Brees left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Tampa. That's just, you can't put your finger on it.
Stuck QB there.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Anyway, Tampa's just hot and cold, right? Where they sometimes will beat people that you don't expect them to, but then they lose to teams that they should wipe the floor with. So if there's one division that needs to take advantage of good quarterback play and being able to get over that hump, it's got to be Atlanta. So that's my pick for that. Who you got as being the biggest bust, if you're going to put me on the spot?
The funny thing is, we're going to disagree wholeheartedly on this one, but I have J.J. McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah, reading up on Michigan, you kind of hit on it with like their defense. They did a lot of running the football up there in offense. And like, I don't know, it just seemed like his rise in stock leading up to the draft kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he was like a second round pick, third round pick for a longest time. And as the draft got closer, it was like, oh, this dude's going to go high in the draft. They were talking about him going as high as 3. And I was like, where the hell did this come from? And I don't know. I mean, I know he just won a national championship. We know that doesn't always necessarily translate to the NFL. I mean, look at AJ McCarron. He's the one guy that comes immediately to mind where he led his team to a national championship and lost, or didn't really, not lost, but didn't really have a successful NFL career. So
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. I know. I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to bring it up.
I'll bring it up. Don't worry. I could do it for you.
I don't know. It's just something about him that it's just like a gut feeling where, like, I know he's got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison up there and a great coach up there in Minnesota. It's just something just doesn't feel right about it. So I got J.J. McCarthy there. So, I mean, there's some good clip material right there for us when one of us is right and one of us is wrong, because it's going to be one or the other.
We got to write these things down and look back in our Notre Dame's pool and be like, oh, okay, which one of us was a moron that day?
Exactly.
I'm sure there are plenty of times where I've been a moron. Like I said, I'm waiting for Jacksonville to win the Super Bowl this year, and then my DMs are just going to be a laundry list of all those Jacksonville fans being like, you fucking idiot, I told you. And I'm going to sit there and be like, yep, I'm a dummy. But no, we'll absolutely see what happens. The rookie QB stuff is always fascinating. Like I said, to go from what we talk about this time of year, and then, you know, fast forward a year from now, where we're going to be having different conversations about new rookie quarterbacks coming in, it's going to be fascinating to see. Because like I said, I don't think anybody saw what CJ Stroud did this. Like, who saw him doing what he did
this
previous year, right? Like, I projected, if you asked me before the season, he's probably my biggest bust. And then turns around, he's like, you know, superstar number one of the QBs in the rookie class. So, all right, let's move on to our next subject here. And I don't want to, we're going to tread carefully. We're going to walk on eggshells a little bit for this one, but we're going to talk about the reaction that's come out from Harrison Butker from his little, what was it, commencement speech that he gave, right? I think that was last week or whenever it was. Full disclosure, we're not going to dive into what he talked about. That is no, we're not going to talk about that.
Nope.
I want to talk to you, Burgess, about how what he said gets interpreted by both fans and media and different platforms, with how everything is interpreted these days, where pro athletes have that level, that platform that they stand on, and they can say these things. Do you think we need to hold them to a, I want to guess that my question for you is, do we want to hold them to a higher standard by their views and their opinions and their values, or should we treat them as everyday individuals having, you know, if you and I, let's hypothetically say we're coworkers and we're in the coffee room or the break room having a coffee and we're just having a conversation about something. And if you and I disagree on something, it's not the end of the world. It's like, okay, well, I don't agree with what you're saying. But with these guys, with where they're at and their stature in society, do they kind of need to be careful with what they say sometimes, or is this being blown out of proportion? That's what I want to ask you.
I think they definitely need to be held to a higher standard just because of the outreach that they have with their fame and, you know, the amount of people that follow them. They do need to be held to somewhat of a higher standard. They're obviously entitled to do whatever they want and say whatever they want and have whatever opinions they want, but they also have to face what and understand when they make these types of speeches or, you know, say whatever on Twitter, anything like that, it's going to be more heavily scrutinized than you and I, you know, saying something on Twitter. And cancel culture is real. We know about that. And they just need for them, they can do what they can use their platform however they want. I have no problem with whatever they do. I will disagree with whatever athlete says, and it may cause me to no longer follow them or to no longer interact or be a fan of them for what they do. But at the end of the day, it's their right to do what they see is right for them and their beliefs and their upbringing, their, you know, whatever you want to say it is.
Yeah.
But they need to understand that they are going to be held to a higher standard in the court of public opinion, in terms of their jobs, everything like that. Everything is more heavily scrutinized. So like, I got no problem with athletes saying whatever they want to say at the end of the day. Like, what an athlete says doesn't impact my life at the very least, if I choose not to let it impact my life, which is what I do with everything. If I decide to get triggered and decide to go on a Twitter rant about it, that's what I'll do. That's happened quite a bit with, you know, sports takes and sports stuff over the years. But at the end of the day, if I don't want to interact, I just will ignore it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm in the same boat, I want to say, because it's such a hard thing to think about, where if you're not in the shoes of the person that's doing the speaking or having that either, I don't want to say stigma, but like having that wording attached to you with whatever you either said or did, especially if it's a mistake, because that's a big thing where you have to, like I said, I love to play devil's advocate for everything, where it's very hard to look at these pro athletes, whether it's pro athletes, celebrities, whoever it is, just in general, everybody, where, you know, they're given this platform, and sometimes the dumb shit they say, where you're just looking at them like
Antonio Brown.
Well, that's a whole other mental ball game that we're not going to get into. But like we were talking about earlier, right, with Kyrie Irving, where here's a very intelligible. Speaking to English again, intelligent person who went to Duke, that is a phenomenal basketball player. He's a very high IQ guy that's riding this flat earth society bubble thing that I don't follow him anymore. So I don't know if it's like something he's still on board with, but like for the longest time, the dumb crap that would come out of his mouth, where it's like, you have little kids that wearing your jersey that aspire to be you. And it's just like, And I don't want this to be interpreted as, you know, I look back, what was that, like 10 years ago, whatever, that some broad was came out and was like, you know, shut up and dribble, she told LeBron or something like that. And that became a whole thing where it's like, I'm not saying that, but it's just be open to different values and different opinions when you're at that stature. For me, again, not to toot my own horn, but I love to see both sides of everything. And I'll make a decision one way or another, and I'll defend my decision. But at the end of the day, if you prove me wrong, I'm going to admit I'm wrong. And I think the problem with a lot of these guys, whether it's, you know, Harrison Butker or Kyrie Irving or, you know, Joe Schmo down the road, is the society we've become too comfortable with standing on our pedestal, saying how right we are and screaming at everybody that disagrees with us, and then either suing anybody who disagrees or canceling anybody who disagrees. And it's like we've lost sight of being able to have a good, healthy debate, that it's okay to agree to disagree at the end of the day.
Like, healthy disagreements. Healthy disagreements. Yep.
How many times do I call you a fucking idiot and we laugh about it a day later? Like every day. Every day.
It's an everyday occurrence. Yes.
But at the end of the day, I'm not actually like calling you a fucking idiot. I don't believe that in my heart and soul. I mean, well, let me pump the brakes on that a little bit. I don't want this to become all sentimental, but like at the end of the day, it's just, I think we're losing sight of what everybody is entitled to say. Like freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. And it's also a damn thing. You know what I mean? It's very, very difficult where you got to tread that line. And I know at the end of the day, you're probably going to piss off somebody one way or another, but I think it would just be good for some of these guys sometimes to just take a step back and go, is this the right thing for me to be saying right now?
So last thing I want to say on this, have you ever been involved in or witnessed on Facebook any kind of political comment section on anything? Have you?
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
So, social media is the reason why healthy disagreements don't exist anymore.
That's true.
So just tread lightly if you're out there. I mean, we'll troll, but we know what lines not to cross, so we'll be good here. We can. I think that's the last thing I could say on that.
I was right. Like, we don't want to get in trouble. Like I said, the torches and pitchforks were out for me about Trevor Lawrence, and I was able to make a friend out of it. I would like to think I made a friend out of it with Michael Barber. So you know what, anything can happen in this day and age. Mm-hmm. But just be smart. Do things the right way, or what I hope you think is the right way, and just we'll see what happens. Yep. Anyway, segue into our next subject. Speaking of athletes and different platforms and whatnot, I want to touch real quickly on an NFL player that recently had to retire by the name of Billy Price. He was a center that was drafted. I want to say it was back in 2018. He played for a few different teams. He recently had to retire because of a really, really, really scary situation where I think doctors found a blood clot that they essentially said with him, you know, with what he had to have done and then the blood thinners he was on, it was like his chance of death was, you know, multiplied X-fold by this whole situation. And then piggybacking off of that, today the news broke that Bill Walton, former Celtics legend, passed away. And then on top of that too, very, very sad moment this weekend where a upcoming promising golfer, Grayson Murray, tragically passed away, taking his own life. And I guess really what I want to get through on this segment real quick here, no joking or anything aside, you know, I just want to say that it's scary to think that these guys were, you know, at the top of their game, at, you know, with different aspects of their careers and whatnot. And the fact that Billy had to walk away the way that he did, and then Grayson fighting the battles, the demons that he had to, and then what would happen, what transpired with him. And then even Bill Walton, where I don't know if it was really public information that he had cancer. And I know he was older, but he was only 71, I believe was the age that he was. So for me, it's more or less that I want to put out there into the universe that touching on these tough subjects and whatnot, live each day the best that you can and be the best person that you can, because you don't know when your time is up, regardless if it's your career, whether it's your life, whether it's anything, and just do the best that you can do. And at the end of the day, embrace everything that you can to the fullest, because the things that you think drive you nuts or that stress you out or that make life hard right now, tomorrow they're not going to make a difference as long as you wake up and you do the best that you can. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, big sobby stuff right there that I want to talk about. Before we started recording tonight, Burgess was telling me how much he loves when his son Parker kicks him in the nuts repeatedly. Like, as much as he hates that, I guarantee you, years from now, when Parker's grown up and, you know, going off to jobs and drinking coffee in the morning and complaining about his girlfriend, you're going to sit there and be like, I miss those days when you used to kick me in the nuts repeatedly, right? Like, that's something you're going to look back on and be like, I hated it at the time, but boy, do I cherish those memories now. So
I can't wait till his little son or daughter, when he does it to him, and I can be like, that's payback, baby.
But no, real quick, like I said, just to really take a heartfelt moment in this episode and just say to everybody, like, you know, all these things are really, really tough. And I know everybody out there is battling some kind of demon or something is going on in your life that's really tough and hard. But you have people that care about you. You have people that love you. And there's a million different ways to get help if different things are happening to you. So just do the best that you can and know that people are always going to be there for you. Burgess, I don't know if you want to add on anything to that.
I just want to say sports are a minor piece of all this. And, you know, obviously condolences out there to you know, Bill Walton and Grayson Murray's family. I mean, I can't imagine what they're going through. And then obviously Billy Price, again, sports are such a minor part of life. Thank goodness they caught it before anything worse happened, either on the football field or, you know, in life in general. So it's definitely good to see that that was caught and the doctors did their job and were able to protect him. So, I mean, obviously it sucks for him that he has to, you know, give up his, you know, sport. He's probably been playing since he was 7 years old, but at the end of the day, that's such a small sacrifice, you know, when you're talking about, you know, your life and your families and everything like that. So, you know, again, condolences are out there for all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, like I mentioned earlier on in the podcast, that we are recording on Monday instead of Tuesday. So actually, to go forward with this, sentiment, it's actually Memorial Day today. And Burgess and I just really quickly want to say thank you to all of the current members of the armed forces right now that are serving and protecting this country and doing everything they can to make sure that, you know, you and I wake up every day and be able to do things like jump on this podcast and yell at each other and have fun and whatnot. And then of course, for all the veterans that gave their lives for the service of this country, we owe you everything and more. So thank you. And especially if there's any veterans who happen to be listening to this podcast, if you're out there, just know we love and we appreciate you more than you will ever know. So thank you. This day is for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, All those that have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, you know, gone, but never, ever, ever, ever forgotten. So we owe everything to where we are now to all those serving now and who have made the ultimate sacrifice for us. So days for you. It's not about barbecues. It's not about anything like that. It's about you. So again, from all both of us here, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, very, very well said. Thank you, Birch. And like I said, we just always, we love our listeners, regardless of your stature and everything. So again, if you guys ever need anything, our DMs are open, our Twitter accounts are open. We might be fighting with you about some football stuff, but at the end of the day, just know we appreciate and love all of you. But real quickly, I just want to go into something new that we want to tease a little bit for what's coming up in the future. We've talked about it on here before that my buddy Burge here, he's a co-host of another show called Two Pad Stacks. And I think we got a little something brewing in the future. I don't know, Burgess, do you want to talk us through that a little bit? We got something in the background going on?
Yeah, we got some cool collaborations coming over the summer here. So again, be on the lookout on all of our socials. We've been working hard behind the scenes, you know, Ace, my co-host on the Two Pad Stack, you know, I hate him just as much as I hate Hogan. We love arguing with each other. It's fun. It's all in good fun. I don't actually hate him. We're actually good friends, but it's fun to get out here and screw around and debate and just have fun talking sports. We got some cool collaborations coming again. Don't want to get too far into it yet because we're not quite ready yet, but just be on the lookout. Like I said, in addition to all the cool stuff we got coming to you for with Breaking the Plane here, with the divisional stuff coming up, we also have some very cool collaborations coming with Ace as well as a few others. So it'll be pretty good. So again, keep your eyes peeled on our socials. You have them. Be sure to check them out.
That's right. Plenty of good stuff coming, as always, with the two of us and with Two Pad Stack and more to be announced in the future. I think that wraps up almost everything that we were talking about here. I don't know, Birch, is there anything else you wanted to hit on that we could potentially talk about, kill some time here? We got anything else?
We could talk a little bit of our fun gaming adventures if you want.
Ooh, we could jump into that.
Do a little pop culture for the last, 10 minutes or so here.
I like the sound of that. What have you been playing lately? You got anything you want to talk to me about?
Dude, I'm diehard back into it again. Going on 10 years now. Destiny 2, man. A game that will just not leave me. There's just something about it that always brings me back to it. New expansion coming out in about a week and a half. I'm going to end up opening the wallet again for the game. Suck me right in every time, and then I'll play it for a month, and I'll put it down for a while, and I'll go back to it. That's how it works. And, you know, you and I, we've had so many great memories playing that game back in the day. Back before we got old and I had kids and we both had wives. We were just single dudes working the midnight shift, getting home at 6 a.m, playing Destiny till noon time.
As much as I love those days, I do not want to go back to them at all. But no. I get it. I absolutely get it. No, I'm definitely excited to get back into some more Destiny with you as well. And I know it's funny because I was just thinking in my head how much my streamer buddies that listen to this podcast are going to be so excited about this little segment here at the end. Us talking about video games. But yeah, I'm in the same boat where I've been playing a couple different things. Recently, I know you were able to pop in with my stream where I had a little bit of a Mario Kart competition with my buddies this weekend. That was a freaking phenomenal time. What do you got? What's up?
Say that Spiny Shell video was, dude, I was dying.
That was bullshit.
That would happen to you. And I'm like what, six feet from the finish line?
Bam. Not even. I was 5 feet from the finish line. For all of you out there who played Mario Kart, you know this pain. Everybody knows this pain. I'm not the only one who felt this, okay? I'm battling. I'm neck and neck, first and second place. I think it was like with a computer player too. It wasn't even one of my buddies. We put it on the hardest mode. We duke it out. And I'm literally, it's the third lap. The finish line is 10 feet away. And I get that warning where it's like blue shell incoming. And I'm like, no fucking way. This is about to happen. And of course I was in second and I pulled into first right as the shell shows up. Bomb drops on me. Like 4 or 5 feet from the finish line, I get blown to smithereens. Three people pass me before I get my cart back on the track. I end up in fourth place when I should have finished first. It was absolutely ridiculous. It made for a hell of a clip, I can tell you that.
Oh, that clip.
Oh my God, I was pissed off. I don't know. You saw me slam my computer chair and everything. I was so pissed off because that was going to be, I think that was going to be my first win of the night. I streamed for like 3 hours and I think I only won a couple times, but oh my God, that pissed me off.
Oh, be sure to check out our Twitter page because I'm going to share it on there when we're done recording here. I'm going to make sure it's on there for you come see. And if you want to plug your social where you can see all your other clips, because there's some dynamite ones.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I got if any of you are interested in watching silly old me play some games and having some fun and swearing and failing a whole bunch, I'm over on Twitch as Prowler71. All one word there. You can find me on social media between Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I got everything with Prowler71. If you can't find me, it's Twitch Prowler71. I got all the details in there. You can find all that stuff. But yeah, we have a grand old time where I'm part of a community with a bunch of other streamers that just, we have a blast. And Mario Kart's one of my favorite. I had so much fun with Mario Kart that I'm getting into Super Mario 64 this week, and I'm going to stream that for a little bit this upcoming weekend, and I can't wait to dive back into that game. I'm sitting there with all this nostalgia being like, I remember how much fun I had playing that back in the day. I have a feeling it's going to be very reminiscent of GoldenEye when I played that for my retro stream, where I think I'm just going to get so frustrated. I'll probably turn it off like a half an hour into the game because I'm going to get so pissed off being like, I don't remember this control being like this, or Mario's going to do something stupid and jump off a cliff. But I'm looking forward to it either way.
You're going to have to get some Zelda in there too. Do you ever play Ocarina of Time back when you were a kid?
I beat that. I got Ocarina of Time. Actually, my first Zelda game was actually on the OG Game Boy, Link's Awakening.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which I know they remade for the Nintendo Switch, and I've been meaning to grab it. The one thing with Nintendo, though, is they drive me nuts where they jack up the prices of everything, and then they never go on sale, where you got like your Destiny went on sale. I bought the DLC before we started recording, where it was like $20 or something like that, where it's like, I think Zelda came out like 10 years ago, and it's still $70 for Nintendo, which is ridiculous. But those games are super, super fun, so I'm excited to jump into that. But yeah, like I said, real quick again, just to plug them one more time, Prowler71, if you're interested, if you want to check it out. If not, there's a bunch of other people that I know that stream, and if you check out Twitch or any of those streaming platforms where you can have a grand old time, laughing and watching people do crazy crap on video games. It's always a blast, but
that'd be a good BTP GOATS segment for the off season at some point. Top five video games of all time, not just sports, all video games. Ooh, I could have some fun with that one.
We're gonna duke it out. We're gonna get in an actual fist fight if we do end up doing that one, because I guarantee you, it's not gonna get pretty if you spout some of the bullshit I know you're willing to spout at me for your favorite video games. Don't give me that look.
You don't even know anything about that.
Oh, really? World of Warcraft? How was that on your top five?
Not even up there. Not even up
really?
There.
Really?
Not even close. Really? Not even close.
Okay. Well, we did tease. Aren't we going to do potentially a top five? Was it Madden or football video games? That'd be a good one to do too, right?
Yep.
So we got some. I was going to say, we got some good top five BTP GOAT segments coming your way. So we got that coming. And then on top of that, too, really quickly, just to reiterate what you touched on earlier, we have more off-season fun coming, where we're going to be having different people come on the podcast as guests to talk about the individual divisions between, you know, NFC North, NFC South, AFC North, South, just all across all the divisions. We're going to have all the schedule coming up soon, where we're going to have all the guests. So keep your ears peeled for that. We'll announce everything on socials when they're getting closer. I think that touches on almost everything, right, bud?
That's good for me. That's good for me. Yeah. Just again, reach out to us on the socials, Twitter at @BTP_podcast_, Instagram at @BTP_podcast, and our YouTube channel at @BTP podcast. All the clips and stuff make it up onto all the socials. We try to put a few out a week from our episodes. Some weeks we'll have some more than others, depending on, you know, the content that we end up generating here. If Nick and I start screaming at each other, we'll have some good ones. We're going to have to get another one of those "you're an idiot" clips here coming pretty soon. So be on the lookout for all that. We'll have it out there all summer, and can't wait for football season, man. I saw something. I saw a post today that we've had 15 Sundays without NFL football since NFL football, and we have 15 to go.
Ooh, right in the dead center of the halfway mark. I love it. So I love it, because
regular season football, not preseason football.
I don't know what I need the football back on the Sunday, so that way I can tell my wife I'm busy every Sunday again, because lately it's been crazy town, where every time it's like, hey, what are our plans this weekend? She's like, oh, we're doing this. And I'm like, but, and she's like, there's no football. I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, fuck, I don't have an excuse now. What do I do? So I'm looking forward to it.
Sorry.
I'd love to use that excuse, but that doesn't get me off the hook, unfortunately. But we'll look forward to what the bigger and better things, as we always say, that are coming this way. We thank you so much. If you stuck around this long listening to these two old guys gabbing about sports and video games and everything else, we love and appreciate all of you guys out there. As always, this is a good place to plug this sucker up. So you can find us on the socials, like Burge said earlier. I won't rehash all that, because you guys hopefully know them at this point. If you don't, just look for Breaking the Plane. I'm sure you'll find it. You'll find our snazzy new logo, which is finally all over the place. We finally got Elon to bend the knee and change the profile picture. So we're very happy about that. But again, this is Hogan signing off with my co-host Burge. I hope you all have a fantastic week. Hope you had a great Memorial Day. And as always, go Patriots.
Go Pats, baby.
Burgess, sign us off.
Peace.
Later.